Blog Talk Radio.
Yo. Lean Keys, Real Talk. I don't know what number it is, 160, 161. I'm not even sure at this point. But it's cool. Sorry for the technical difficulties. I'm a mess. It's all right. I couldn't find my headphones, and then I couldn't connect to them, so that was the situation. But anyways, it's all good. I'm gonna wait a few more for Lee to get here, but we'll get right back. We'll get right into everything. Anyways, one second. Damn, everything's lagging tonight. My laptop is just bugging out. I couldn't even get onto the website, and then I had to reload that. The buttons aren't even loading. This is terrible.
Yo!
What up, man?
Oh, what it do?
Oh, man, just struggling. The technical difficulties are heavy on my computer tonight.
Yeah, I sent you the wrong pin on the text message. I was like, damn, I think I sent him the wrong pin. Then I was like, yeah, that's the wrong one. So,
No, man, I'm just depressed because they're getting rid of the movie theater.
What movie theater?
They're getting rid of my favorite place to go where I live. They're selling the movie theater.
Well, shit, they probably just gonna replace it with another one.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Actually, man, the big thing now is like the drive-in things. Now I like the new things. I know I live out here in Denver, so in the wintertime, I ain't gonna be trying to be driving in and sitting in the car watching a damn movie with the heat on. So that ain't gonna work for me. But that's gonna be probably next summer, that's probably gonna be the thing to do. They even talking about some of the artists are talking about doing drive in shows.
Yeah, I saw a thing online and it was they had an outside concert, and it was everybody had their own little, like, platform. So the group you go with would have your own platform, like, and they were all, like, you know, a good distance apart. So you could be outside at the concert, but it would be very spread out.
Yeah, because I know Megan Thee Stallion, she was out here actually in Colorado. She did a virtual show. Well, I guess it was virtual for the people to tune in, but she was actually at the venue, and, you know, it was. I watched it on Twitter, so it was cool. But, yeah, man.
Yeah, you really got it.
Things have changed, bro. Living in different times than last year.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. What's on your mind tonight?
Oh, man, you know we got to jump into it, man. So I know this drives you crazy, and it's actually starting to drive me crazy. Every time Israel Adesanya wins, every time he wins a fight, it's like, why does he have to bring up John Jones? It's like, bro, you don't have to bring up John Jones every time you want to fight, especially when you say he's irrelevant. You keep making him relevant by bringing his name up. So, man, it just drives me crazy, dude. It's like, and then they go back and forth for what, two, three, four, 5 days, and it's like the hottest thing on Twitter, And we all know there's not going to be any payoff no time soon as far as them fighting. Okay. I know it burns me up. How do you feel about it? Hey, how I sound, first of all? I'm in my car.
So, Oh, you sound fine. It sounds fine.
All right, cool. Thanks.
I wouldn't say – so to me, every time I see it, when I see them go back and forth, the only thing I could think about is this is totally useless. It just seems so useless to me, and it tells me that neither guy has anything big enough going on or a big enough fight going on to where they're actually satisfied with where their career is at. That's what it kind of says to me. Because if you were, you wouldn't be chasing each other, because they both have, you know, good. They both have big challenges where they're at. So I don't understand why it's always call out each other. And that's what I always think every time I see it. It just seems so useless to me, especially now where Israel said that he was going to stay at middleweight, and he had things to do at middleweight, and then, there's a lot of feedback from your mic now.
It is?
Yeah.
That's the wind. I'm sorry. There you go.
Yeah, if anything, I could always switch you into the... I could always... Anyways, if it gets bad again, I can...
Yeah, it was the windows. I had my windows down. I had to roll the windows up.
So...
We should be good now.
So what I'm... Yeah, there we go. There we go. So what I'm looking at is... What irks me is that Israel was said he had more things to do at middleweight, so he wasn't going to fight John Jones yet. Then John Jones, that was when John Jones was at 205. Then right once John Jones goes from 205 and announces he's moving to heavyweight to fight Ngannou and Stipe, right when he says he's going to heavyweight to fight Ngannou and Stipe, all of a sudden, Blachowicz wins the title, so there's a new champion at 205. And then on the DC show, DC says, or either DC or Ariel Helwani calls Israel the best 205er in the world. And then Israel actually comes out and says, now you can call me the best 205er. The best 205er in the world. And it's like, man, come on, man. Like, you said you was going to stay at middleweight when John Jones was at 205. Then right once John Jones moves from 205 and there's a new champion there, all of a sudden you're saying you're the best 205er in the world. It's like, man, really? Like, that just seems like such a pump fake to me. Like, that's just a whole lot of pump faking to me. And we actually have a caller on the line now. I'll cue him into the call and see what he thinks about the John Jones and Israel Adesanya situation. Yo.
Hey, what's going on?
Hold on, I got to – Lee, there's so much feedback from your mic, bro. I have to put you into the listener's queue here. I got to put you on timeout for a portion here because the feedback is too much. And I feel like it's I can barely hear myself think, and Josh might not be able to hear himself think. So I got to put you there on timeout for a few minutes, and we'll get through this, and then you can get through that, and then we'll meet on the other side. You know what I mean? So I was just talking about John Jones and Israel Adesanya going back and forth, and Lee was saying he was asking me what I thought about it and how he thought that it was kind of annoying to him. And I was saying how it kind of feels useless every time I see it, because Israel said that he was going to say he had more work to do at the middleweight division, the 185-pound division, while John Jones was at 205-pound division. So they wouldn't have fought because he was going to stay at middleweight. Right once John Jones said he was going to move to heavyweight, and then they just had the – now they have a new champion that has Jones's belt at 205 – now Israel called himself the best 205-pounder in the world. Now, to me, that seems like pump faking to me, because he said he wasn't going to go there, and then right once Jones isn't there anymore, now he's almost teasing that he's going to go there. So What do you think about that, if anything?
Honestly, I don't mind it, dude. I think it's just purely entertainment. I mean, you guys probably track that more than I do. But it was kind of almost, I kind of see it as like when McGregor and Mayweather were fucking going back and forth. No one thought it would happen, and then eventually it happened. You know, they talked about it so much, and it eventually actually happened. You know, I don't know. I just feel like it's good for the build up if and when it does happen. Yeah, I don't know. I don't mind it, to be honest. I think it's just pure entertainment to see them going back and forth on social media, just kind of hyping it up, you know. And if it doesn't happen, oh well.
Well, my thing is this, is it's good entertainment. My thing is this, is that it's just that kind of stuff to me is just after, because they've been going back and forth for a while. It's not like they've been, it's not like they just started going back and forth. I mean, he, Adesanya, you know, he's been going back and forth with Jon Jones for like a year and a half now. You know, it hasn't.
Is that a
long time, like,
though, in the UFC? I feel like there's been fighters that have been like trying to fight each other for like over a year and then have never fought too, no?
Yeah, yeah. No, there is. It's just that it's, no, I mean, there is. It's just not, it's not really like I expect them to already have fought, or that I, it's not like I expect guys to go back and forth for a short period and then fight like soon after. It's just that, it's just like such a, it just makes no sense because like neither guy is really motioning to get that fight. You know what I mean? Like that's the part of it that, that irks me. Like with the McGregor and Mayweather situation, both guys were motioning to get the fight. You know, it was just like a matter of things getting lined up. Like it wasn't like, yeah, because yes, exactly. Like it was just like getting the money right and like, and both guys get into where they needed to be, because obviously McGregor was, he never boxed before. So like he had to, I'm sure he had like a long camp, like boxing, and he and McGregor took time to have other boxers come in, like other different, like lower, not lower level, but different pro boxers come in. He had to bring in guys and had to get himself like prepped that way because he never boxed before and he's going to box a high level guy. So that would take time regardless. And then Mayweather on his end, I mean, Mayweather's always trained in boxing. He didn't need to train, but I'm sure there was a lot of business things that needed to get situated because he gets paid a lot of money. So I would think that, you know, the promoters needed time to get things in order to where they needed to be. Plus, you know, there was a lot of time to not only set up the fight, but to promo the fight. You know, they had like a whole world tour that happened and that took time. They wanted to have enough time to market the fight, you know, long before that it was even going to happen. So that, you know, took a large chunk of time as well. And, you know, the first, I don't remember the first time McGregor called out Mayweather, but I just know that it, you know, from that time, it did kind of seem like the fight was getting closer, you know, because you were hearing about it more. And it wasn't just like, I mean, each guy was kind of like making remarks and taunting each other, but it wasn't just like, this like Jones and Adesanya thing where it's like both guys are just like, you know, posting memes about each other on Twitter and like nothing is really motioning to happen. You know what I mean? Like that's kind of the way that I can compare those two things. Lee, are you hearing what I'm saying? Did you hear that,
yeah,
that comparison,
yeah,
that I just made?
Yeah.
Cause Josh was saying, go ahead.
Called Floyd out after he won the belt from Alvarez. Once he won the second belt, I think that was when he called him out. It was like, hey, Floyd, I'm looking for you and all this and all that. And I think once he won the second belt, it kind of like made the fight more viable. So, but I think John and Izzy is just like, I wouldn't use the word use like my
Hey, your mic got cut out. What do you think?
I think it's more like bantering. You know how you go back and forth with somebody, back and forth with somebody, but you know really ain't nothing gonna happen. Cause
I think they both said that if they were to fight, it would happen in 2021. But we know that's not going to happen because John is going to fight the winner of the Stipe and Ganu fight, which is probably going to happen in 2021. So I don't see them fighting. And actually, I think I'm over it, you know, because it's something that's basically a pipe dream. And actually, I think John looks really petty. It's like, bruh, you are probably going to go down as probably one of the top five MMA artists of all time. And you are shooting at an upcoming kid who's basically going to probably be on your level at some point of his career. And it's like burning your ass full of jealousy that this kid is so cocky and he could really give two F's about you and your career. It's like Israel is not going to bend and kiss the ring of John Jones. It's just not going to happen. So John needs to get over it. The fight probably ain't going to happen. So y'all just move on with y'all careers, and let's look forward to what y'all going to do in the future.
So you think they still shouldn't be bickering? Like, what if they both know they're not going to fight each other, but they just, like, don't really like each other? You know what I mean? Like, what would you do with someone in that situation where, like, he's in the same kind of league as you are, but you really don't like him? Aren't you still going to talk shit, even if you probably aren't going to fight him, at least for a while?
But the thing is like, to me, it's like a made-up beef. It ain't like a true beef. It's a made-up beef.
It's a made-up.
Yeah,
you're talking to McDonald's.
It's like it's like MKG and Eminem a year and a half ago. We're seeing like a made-up beef, and then both of them came out with albums. So, yeah, I don't know, man. I just think it's a made-up beef, and it has no traction. I don't think there's going to be a payoff with a fight in the end.
But so the thing that still irks me about it, though, is that it seems like each guy is still motioning away from the fight. So why are you even still, like, with some of these other guys, they're still motioning towards the fight. Like, Ferguson and Khabib are still trying to move closer to the fight. The only reason that the fight gets away from them is because the fight is cursed. And we know that. Like, Ferguson fell over, like, a cord or something. He tripped over, like, a speaker cord, like, one of the last times they were supposed to fight, which is, like, one of the most random occurrences that could ever happen. Like, he tripped and, like, tore his, like, MCL over, like, a speaker cord or something like that. Like, that is the most freak injury that could possibly happen, and that stopped the fight. The time after that, Russia got locked down from this pandemic that just spewed out of nowhere. And Khabib just so happened to go back to Russia just in time to get stuck in the country. Like, what are the odds that that would happen? That's like a 1 in a million chance. But either way, both of those guys are always asking for the fight, and they're always, like, maintaining the consensus that they would like to be offered the fight. Like, Jones and Adesanya seem like they're looking for other fights. Like, Adesanya is calling out Jared Cannonier. You know, and Jones is out here, you know, saying that, you know, he could fight Stipe for the belt, like, once he gets recovered from his injury. So each guy doesn't even seem like they want to fight each other. They're still looking for other fights in divisions that are far away from each other. Like, Jones is wants to fight heavyweight guys, and Adesanya still wants to go down the line and fight the top 15 guys or whatever, the top five, the other top five and top 10 guys he wants to fight at middleweight. So it doesn't even make sense to me.
Yeah, I think that it makes some good publicity, but I just don't think we're going to get a payoff. And if we do get a payoff, it'll probably be at 205, probably for not a belt, probably for just bragging rights. And I just don't think that's what – people will pay to see it. Because of the names,
But, I mean, I would pay to see. I'd probably have a fight party for that.
See, that's what I'm saying, though. They're trying to just hype it up. Like, all the dialogue now, if it were to happen, is going to mean so much more when the fight actually does happen.
Yeah.
Nah, you're right. Once they go down to the end.
Go ahead, Keys.
Once they get down the end of the line, you're going to have a lot of history to, you know, to put into like a promo trailer, you know, for their actual fight.
All right. So, being that we had that beef go through, I know last week, man, you talked about what should be next for Izzy. We know that Whitaker and Cannoneer are going to fight in basically a title eliminator. Do you think he's going to wait till that winner to fight the winner of that fight, or do you think he's going to take another fight between in the meantime? And then so, who do you think he's going to fight?
Didn't he say he wanted to fight again in 2020?
Yep.
But some.
Yeah, he did.
Someone really said they wanted to
fight
again in 2020.
Yeah, nah. Adesanya said he wants to fight again before the end of the year. So I mean, but if he was to, if he was gonna do that, like he would kind of have to be in training camp now. Like if he was so, or he would have to be at least starting camp, like in, you know, in during this month, I would think. You know, if you want to get in there, get like for, you know, for a title fight, you know, I would think that he would be starting camp like during October, so you could make it like, you know, by that end of the year card. I mean, because, and it would make sense for the UFC because that card, I think that's the end of the year card that they wanted to have, you know, Kamaru Usman versus Gilbert Burns, a fight that you were really looking forward to.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, they wanted to have Kamaru Usman versus Gilbert Burns, you know, the fight you were really looking forward to, Josh. And that fight fell through. I don't know why, but I think they said Usman needs more time, like to prepare or something like that. So they postponed it.
Yeah,
but
non-disclosure or something.
They said what?
I think they said it was a non-disclosed injury. Something weird. I remember reading the article. Something weird. It was definitely on Usman's side for sure.
Usman is like Woodley to me. It's like. Every fight.
I knew that was coming.
It's like every fight. He has an injury after every fight. And then it's like undisclosed. It's like, bro, you knew Gilbert Burns' fight was November the 2nd. It was scheduled for November the 2nd. So where are we at with this? Come on, man. You ain't forced. Well, he ain't forced since before Kobe, right? His last fight was Kobe Covington, correct?
Yeah.
So,
what did you say?
What was Usman's last fight?
Oh,
he
not
fought Masvidal.
Yeah, he just fought Masvidal. But still, what was that about, a month ago? A month and a half ago?
Yeah, no, that was during the summer. That was like July, I think, maybe even June.
That's the point I'm making. What's the big deal? Every time he
fights,
he gets
hurt. That
was about
like months ago. I didn't even
know
he got hurt in that particularly. In that fight particularly, because he barely even got hit. I mean, like in the first round, you could see he like tried to test like Masvidal. Like he tried to like stand, like he tried to like box with Masvidal, and like he was losing. So then he started to clinch Masvidal, and he was starting to do like those foot stomps to him. And he really started to, like, slow the fight down and make it his fight. But we know that once it's Usman's fight, the fight doesn't really – it's not much of a fight once you get to be Usman's fight because he just doesn't really – there's really not much action. So what I'm just trying to understand, though, is how did he get hurt in a fight like that? Like, he – when you're fighting in the Covington fight, I could see if he would have got hurt there because those dudes pretty much boxed for 5 rounds. And I could see if he had broke his hand or something like this, or injured his shoulder, you know, or something like this, or injured, you know, had leg injuries because, you know, I want to say there was a lot of leg kicks in that fight. But in the Masvidal fight, he didn't really
not that he got hurt from the fight. He got hurt, like, in training camp for the burn fight.
So you're saying he fought injured? He fought Masvidal injured?
No, he's saying that after the Masvidal fight during training, he sustained an injury. And that's the same thing that they said happened to him leading up to the Covington fight, was that he got hurt in training. He had knee surgery or something after the Woodley fight. So it's like, man, it's always something, man. It's like, damn.
I mean, the sport that they're in, well, though, I mean, if it is true, I can understand, like, injuries occurring, like, happening. I mean, some athletes get hurt more than others, for sure. No doubt about that. But, like, him being hurt, you can't be too upset. I mean, the sport that they play in, it's very injury-prone, you know what I mean? Even during training camp, you know, it's like football almost, you know? You're very free to get hurt because of the sport you're playing.
All right, man, I'm going to put it to you like this. Bless Holloway rarely suffers injuries, and he's one of the most active fighters in the UFC. Angela Hill barely has an injury, and she's one of the most active fighters in the UFC. John Jones has basically never had an injury problem, and he has definitely been probably one of the most active champions.
Well, that's
because
he fights once a year, though. How often is John Jones?
Since he's been back, he's fought Anthony Smith, he fought Thiago Santos, right, and he fought Dominique Reyes since he's been back since 2018, I think. And Gustafson. So he's fought four times. Whereas if you look at Khabib once a year, basically once a year.
I get what you're saying is that it does seem like the fighters who fight a lot less often, like a lot of these once-a-year fighters like Khabib, are the ones always getting injured. But the ones that fight more often, you never hear them being injured. Like Max Holloway, I don't even remember the last time I heard that he was injured. And he fought, I want to say, four, if not five times in all title fights in 1 year's time. And that was actually maybe even six now. And that was in one, probably a year and a half time, if you go back in his last six fights, all title fights in a year and a half. And you don't even hear him having any injuries.
He fought Aldo twice, Volkanovski twice, Poirier, and Frankie Edgar.
That was in a year?
I want to say within 2 years. Maybe a year and a half, 2 years. That's still
No, that was 1 year because he fought Poirier was in about April or May. Now, I want to say Poirier was in April 2019. That was on the same card as Adesanya and Gastelum, one of the probably the best UFC fight I've ever seen, Adesanya and Gastelum, if not one of the best fights anybody's ever seen.
And he fought Volkanovski at the end of the year.
Yeah, but that was his third fight in that. So he had, because Holloway had, he fought Poirier, and then right after he lost to Poirier, he fought Edgar in July. And then he fought Volkanovski at the end of the year, and then he fought Volkanovski again. So he fought four times just in that 1 year. And then if you add he had the Brian Ortega fight was in December, so that was 4 months before Poirier. So in a year and 4 months, he had five title fights.
But the point that we're making here is the fighters that fight more often aren't injury prone. The ones that we can barely get to get in the octagon, they stay hurt. Except Khabib don't stay hurt. He just don't fight number once a year, two times at the most. And I guess that's just something he got worked out with the UFC, and he will only fight once or twice a year. How they come up with that, I don't know.
Well, he's got the whole Ramadan situation too, though.
But Ramadan is only a month.
It's only a month.
Is it only a month?
Yeah, I've been to the Southeast Asia before. It's only a month.
And that's the craziest thing because exactly, because they do make it seem that way because the media, nobody really knows the facts. So then the media, to me, they just like to say, oh, well, he has Ramadan, so he doesn't fight during Ramadan. And then you don't see him for like 4 months. So then it's just like an assumption that that whole entire span is for Ramadan when it's not. Ramadan's only like 3 weeks long. I don't even think it's a month
it's
long.
Only a month. Yeah,
it's like
only
3 weeks. It's
yeah.
like 3 weeks. It's not even a month.
Well, I guess you can't train during that time, too, so that sets back training. So he'd have to start training after Ramadan ends. And then training camp's what, like 2 or 3 months at least? So that's probably why.
No.
Like,
training camp is
how
only
is
6 to 8 weeks. 6 to 8 weeks.
So that's like 2 months.
So he still can fight.
Ramadan's a full month, and then 2 months to train. So that's 3 months right there, just because of Ramadan, because he can't train or anything. So it kind of sets you behind.
I mean, I could see if they said he has to take a month after he, after, because they fast, you know, every day during Ramadan, right? So I could see if he said, like, I have to take, like, a month to get my body right and to get back
into shape. They fast from sunup to sundown. So after sundown,
yeah,
they eat. So it's only from sunup to sundown.
But actually, see, the thing is with that, too, is that, but that's not true, though, because the thing is with that is that fasting is actually great for your body. So I don't even understand how he would need to get his body back right, because fasting has so many health benefits to your body. I mean, but doctors would never tell you that because they just want you to buy all these products that they make money from. All the milk and everything and all these fatty products. They just want you to buy all of it. You know what I mean? Everybody's in business together. That's a whole nother topic, but that's the truth. Fasting does a lot more good for your body than eating as much as we do does, or eating 3 times a day on a normal schedule does. It's really true. And so I'm surprised that he would even have to – because when I first thought of it, I could see him saying that I want to get my body back right. But at the same time, I would think he would be in better shape from fasting. So I don't even understand. Yeah, I don't know, man. That's a rabbit hole of a conversation right there.
Yeah, man. But it's back to the point of, you know, man, like, you know, like Usman Burns been pushed back. Now Izzy wants to fight again before the end of 2020. Do he get a fight before the end of 2020? Because Cannonier and Whitaker is about to fight, not this weekend, but I want to say next weekend. So are they going to be able to bounce back that fast to fight before the end of the year? Or are we looking at Izzy fighting the winner in the first card of 2021, or do Izzy fight somebody else at the end of 2020? I mean, it just depends on what Izzy wants to do. I think Izzy probably wait on the winner of Whitaker and Cannonier. The UFC might better sneak it in at the end of the year, but I don't know.
I could see him has the Joker won his last fight, Jack Hermanson?
I don't know. Let me look it up.
Yeah, why you look that up? Because I was just going to say, I could see Adesanya just taking Jack Hermanson. Because if he won his last fight, I want to say he did. I could see them just going with that one, because I want to say he's like number 4 and number 5 ranked. So it doesn't not make sense.
All right, let me see. What is your rankings?
I want to say he did have a big win. I forget who he fought, though. He might have fought Gastelum in his last fight. Now I think of it.
Yeah, he submitted Gastelum in the first round. He's scheduled to fight Darren Till on December 5th.
Oh, he's fighting Darren Till?
Yep, on December 5th.
Damn. I feel like that's kind of a step down. I mean, Till is a name, but I feel like that's kind of a step down after you submit Gastelum in the first round. Yeah, I actually remember that. It was like 1 minute into the fight you submitted him. It was crazy.
Yeah, so if I think Izzy just gonna have to wait. He's gonna have to wait on the Whitaker Cannonier winner because everybody else seems to be booked. And then everybody else he done beat. He beat Brunson. He beat Gastelum. And everybody else is booked. Unless he run the Gastelum fight back, but I don't see why he would do that. So I don't see. It would be kind of sort of a quick turnaround for the winner, a Cannonier Whitaker, because I think that fight is going to be a five-rounder. I think it's going to go to distance. I think it's going to be a tough fight. And depending on how much damage they take, wouldn't that person be able to bounce back and be ready to go at the end of the year? I don't know. We got to see how the fight plays out. So I'm thinking that Izzy probably be on the first card of 2021. I don't think he's going to be on the end-of-year card.
Yeah, it seems to me like it's too quick. It doesn't really seem like anybody's in place for that. If Whitaker wins, I think Whitaker's going to have a longer camp before he rematches Adesanya. I would think this next time he's going to take a longer time. He's going to take a longer time and go and approach it differently. So I would expect that he doesn't rush into a fight like that. Another thing that I wanted to ask you about is it looks like Dana White has hijacked. I don't know. I was thinking if that was the right word to use, but we're just going to use it because it seems like it goes. Dana White kind of hijacked the McGregor Poirier 2 fight, and now it seems like that fight. So, yeah, you actually did. You actually did tell me you predicted that it was going to happen that way. It actually happened exactly how you said it was going to happen, which was pretty impressive. He does predict a lot of things. He does predict a lot of things, and that just tacks one more onto that list. That just tacks another one onto that list, and it was very precise. So I give him credit for that. Dana White pretty much hijacked the McGregor-Poirier 2 fight, which is cool with me because at least now you can have it mean more because you're going to have it be – they're going to be fighting in official lightweight rankings, you know, whereas if they did a charity event, you don't know, like, if those are even going on record or, like, who's really scoring that, like, you know, so it would just be kind of weird. Like, you wouldn't really know, you know, because then I know the UFC, like, they wouldn't want to, I wouldn't think they'd want to promote a fight that didn't happen under their banner, you know, if one of those guys wins and then gets, like, pushed to the next title fight. Because what I believe is that now this might suck to think about this, but I think this might be true, is that the winner of that fight is going to be fighting the winner of Khabib and Gaethje.
I don't know. I think that if they do Ferguson versus Chandler, I think the winner of Ferguson versus Chandler would get the winner of Gaethje versus Khabib. I don't think the winner of Poirier versus McGregor will actually get that shot because both of them were dominated by Khabib. I mean, Poirier was like a bolt of lightning all the way up to that fight, and he got dominated so bad in that fight, he didn't even look like the same guy that was starching through people at the time. And needless to say, Conor, until he can fight off his back, he will never be any competition for Khabib. So I like Chandler versus Ferguson here getting the winner of Gaethje versus more than Conor versus Poirier winner getting the winner.
So
So this is a question here. So Josh, what do you think about that? This, you know, Michael Chandler was a champion in another organization, and he comes over. You know, he has no UFC fights, so he's 0-0. If he fights Ferguson and theoretically wins, because that fight is on the table, I'm not sure that it's been, if it's even close, but I know it's on the table. And Ferguson said he's pretty. Ferguson came out and pretty much said he's down to fight anybody. So if that fight gets offered, I would say it's about a 90% chance that Ferguson accepts the fight. So I think it's just a matter of them putting it on the table, because I doubt that Michael Chandler is going to say no to a Ferguson fight. That's pretty much, you win that, and then you're definitely fighting for the belt, and you're not going to be a backup. You're going to be the guy, you know. So neither one of them is going to turn that down. So, but what do you think about that? If Chandler comes in, you know, he pretty much gets the fight for the number one contender, if not fighting for the title at, you know, the, you know, versus Khabib, if, you know, Gaethje falls out.
As a fighter, I don't like it, but from a business perspective, it makes sense. You know, it's going to be headlines, you know, oh, top guy in this fucking, organization is fighting one of our top guys in our organization, you know. From a business perspective, I get the headline aspect of it, but in terms of, like, respect as a fighter in the UFC, like, I don't think he deserves the opportunity right away. I could see him when he's fighting, like, maybe once or twice before, at least. But, you know, like I said, from a business standpoint, I understand it.
I think you have to look at it this way, though, buddy. If he fights Tony Ferguson, who has won 12 of his last 13 fights, who was the consensus number one contender, and he beats Tony Ferguson, coming from Bellator, that says something, because Tony basically has beaten, I want to say, everybody else in the top five.
Why did he deserve that up?
Because
would you say there's better fighters than Bellator?
I'm not going to say because they're better fighters than Bellator, but I think you got to show him a certain amount of respect as far as coming from Bellator as the champ in that same division that he just joined in the UFC. So I wouldn't put him against the number 12 ranked guy. You know, I probably would put him probably against number five or number six.
Five
or six. Yeah, but being that, you know, him and Tony Ferguson are basically on this collision course, and Ferguson is basically looked at as probably the number two ranked 155er, and if he beats him, I think he should get a shot. That's because, you know, who he beat and what he, I mean, I really don't respect Bellator like that, but I think he has probably a handshake agreement with Dana, and if he wins his first fight, he'll probably get a shot. So that's the business side of it.
I don't think I knew that he was a champion in Bellator. I mean, that makes a little more sense, I guess.
Yeah, he was a champion.
Okay. That's a little more respectable then, I guess.
Yeah, so, I think another thing that everybody has to look at 155 is we're assuming, I think a lot of people are assuming that Khabib is going to win. I think Justin has a puncher's chance to win only because we know Khabib doesn't have a strong chin. And if
he doesn't need to have a strong chin.
Huh?
He doesn't need to have a strong chin. You know Khabib is going to take him to the ground and Justin's going to get submitted within two rounds. You already know what's going to happen. Maybe three. Three max.
That's why I said he has a puncher's chance. Because if he hit him with a shot, if he catches him with a shot. Because if you look at the fight against Iaquinta, Iaquinta caught Khabib, what, about two or three times, Keys? And every time he caught him, he took him down. And it was just damn.
The thing is, too, is that, which is crazy about the Iaquinta fight, is that Iaquinta was the only guy who really got back to his feet, like, really. I don't know if it was, like, because, like, could Khabib really kind of went light on him, or he just, there was no animosity or something like this, or he didn't feel threatened, but it seemed like Iaquinta was able to get back to his feet, like, really easily. You know, easier than anybody that I've seen fight him, and the way he was getting taken down, okay, fine. You can't stop the take. There's really no way to stop a takedown from Khabib. It's just about how you're going to – what are you going to do after? Like, once you're taken down, what are you going to do from there? There's really no stopping the takedown. You know, McGregor stopped a couple takedowns in their fight. You know, he did stuff a couple of Khabib's takedowns. So you could say, if I can have perfect takedown defense and just don't get taken down, I could beat him. But – there's only so many times you could have perfect – there's only so many takedowns you could stuff consecutively, because Khabib, he offers the threat on the feet, because he's not – he doesn't have good boxing, but he still throws shots. Like, he can still hurt you on the feet. You know, he's athletic enough to where he's still a threat. So you can watch for the upper body threat, but then he goes to the lower body threat. And then if he's going to the – lower body threat, he might connect in the upper body threat. Like, when he landed that, I don't know if it was a left hook or a right hook on McGregor in the second round of their fight, and then McGregor got knocked down but instantly got back up. And then everybody always likes to play that clip and say, well, this is, you know, look what happened. You know, he knocked McGregor down. But if you look at the technical aspect of it, that's because of how Khabib is, he offers the threat on the upper and lower body, and it's hard for you to focus on not getting taken down and focus on your boxing. So if he can, so where he can land shots and take you down, it's just as much of a threat, because you can only focus, like, cognitively on one thing.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think more people come into Khabib fights fearing the takedown, but they don't fear his stand-up. They fear the takedown more than his stand-up, because, ooh, yeah, and I think Gaethje, if Gaethje can get back to his feet quickly, then he has a chance. If he can't get to his feet quickly, like you said, it's over in the second or third round. Because I see Gaethje probably being like, man, yeah, I think I'm done. So, but, you know, man, Khabib is a beast.
He's got a wrestling background, right?
Yeah, he does.
Yes, he does.
But this is the thing, too, is that people don't understand this. Because I've been watching, you know, I've been really, like, doing my research with this fight. And this is what people don't understand, is that American wrestling is so much different than the way that the wrestling that they drill in Dagestan is way different than the way wrestling is drilled in the States. Like, the wrestling that Gaethje knows is not the same caliber of wrestling that Khabib knows. He's not going to be able to, and especially where, like, I know I saw videos of Gaethje's been training with Kamaru Usman for this fight, which is good. I'm glad that you know, he's training with guys like that, because I think that's what he's going to need more. I don't think he needs to be, you know, training with Poiriers and guys who are going to stand up with him, because his stand-up is already fine. In my opinion, he'll beat Khabib in the stand-up probably without even hardly training it. You know, I think his stand-up is so much better than Khabib's. He doesn't need to – so he should be training with those guys, but at the same time, I still don't think it's the same thing, because he doesn't know – he doesn't know what Khabib knows. Like, the way, you know, and plus Khabib has the sambo, it's so much different than this, you know, college wrestling level that Gaethje has. You know, I don't think that's enough. And I think a lot of people are, are overhyping that level of wrestling, you know, being a college wrestler. Like in for example, too, if you watch the videos online, like, it's interesting enough because if you know, where Gaethje has the you know, this, you know, he was like an all-star in you know, just college level, you know, wrestling or NCAA, I don't even know what they said. But regardless of the fact, Khabib just wrestled like one of the number one, like one of the top, you know, college wrestlers, like in like the circuit. I forget like what college it was, but this kid is like the best. Like, he's one of the best college wrestlers on the planet. Khabib just dog walked him. Like, he posted it, and they brought him into his gym, and he dog walked him. Like, it was bad. And it's like, bro.
Was that
like,
the time DC was there too?
Yeah, DC was there too.
Was that video where DC was there too?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, yeah, no, I remember seeing
like,
that. Damn.
Yeah, like, that kid is, like, one of the best, like, college wrestlers on the planet right now. You can't tell me that if that kid gets dominated that bad, like, that kid could barely even move. Never mind, like, he got back to his feet a couple times, but it was, like, once Khabib got on top of him, he was getting dominated badly. And it's, like, you can't tell me that if Gaethje hasn't even been really using his wrestling, how is he just going to snap back into it? Like, I understand he could be drilling it, like, in the lead up to the fight, like during his training camp, but like, what did he just start drilling it again? Like, how is he just gonna jump right back into it? And if he hasn't, I don't know, man. I just don't think it's the same thing. Like, the way these dudes over there are different, man. And then it's different. I know you don't want to hear that, but it's different.
I think Gaethje is probably using the Usman stuff, probably. As far as working on takedown defense more than actual wrestling, he's probably using it to probably so they can help him defend the takedowns, how to get back to your feet, not the total wrestling aspect of it.
The debate is on in 5 minutes. Just a little FYI there.
Yeah, I mean, so I don't know when. So October 7th, I think the Khabib Gaethje card is in roughly 2 weeks. Yeah, I want to say it's
October
20th. I want to say it's not this. Yeah, so that's not so this. Yeah, so it's not next weekend. It's not this weekend. Not next weekend. The weekend after. So the card is 2 weeks from this Saturday.
Yes.
And I'm bugging out because that's a very, very nice main card. Very nice.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure Whitaker Cannoneer is also on that card.
Yeah, I think it's a co-main event.
Yeah, so you pretty much get to see who's going to decide who's going to fight Adesanya next, which is already going to be exciting. I'm going to be on the edge of my seat for that fight. Believe that. And then you get to see Gaethje and... good to see Gaethje and Khabib go in there. So that's going to be good, man. Dos Anjos is fighting Islam on that card. But I want to say Chimaev. I think Chimaev is on that card too, no?
Walt Harris is fighting Volkov. RDA is fighting Machov. Calvilla is fighting Murphy. Ian is fighting Ankalov again. Stefan Struve and Tuivasa. And looks like one of Khabib's cousins or brothers is on the card too. So, yeah, it's a strong card. It's definitely a strong card. It's a
he's undefeated too? I didn't realize that. Khabib's brother's undefeated?
Yeah, 12-0.
Shit, he's the first fight.
And then I want to say his other brother or cousin signed with Bellator this week or last week.
Yeah,
So, yeah, that's a stacked card. Then I want to say the weekend before that, we get the Korean Zombie versus Brian Ortega, who's finally been released from witness protection. So,
why was he in witness protection?
Guess,
or is that a joke?
Man, he's been gone so long, it felt like he was in witness protection program. Uh-huh. Of course, since he lost to Bless Holloway.
Since Holloway, it's been, by the time he fights, it's gonna be just about 2 years since he's fought.
Didn't he get back in that fight? Didn't Holloway dominate that fight?
Man, he beat the hell out of Brian Ortega.
Yeah, Holloway. That was.
He probably needed some time off.
That was probably, like, the biggest domination I've ever seen in a title fight, to be honest. I mean, a lot of people say...
It was like the ref should have stopped that fight. His corner should have threw the towel in. That, man, he took way too much punishment in that fight.
Yeah, go figure why you haven't seen him in 2 years. But, I mean, Ray, we got to a lot of stuff. There's even more. I mean, Dana White even said the winner of that's the number one contender. Which is crazy, but we could talk about that the next time. I gotta run. I'm about to go watch this vice president debate. I guess on the Joe Biden town hall, he said that he was talking to Gen Z, and he said that we're the least prejudiced generation in our nation's history, which I agree with that. And
I do too.
And I guess he said that, you know, he promised to eliminate student debt for any student making less than $120,000 a year, which,
yeah,
hey,
right?
I could get on board with that. Hey, I could get on board with that. I'm not gonna. You don't gotta twist my arm.
Well, you know, man. I just hope tonight is not a shit show. Compared to last week, I hope, Vice President Pence and Ms. Kamala Harris, they come up there and have a little bit of decorum and etiquette about each other, respect each other's speaking lanes, you know, and be professional tonight. Hopefully there'll be positive things said about this debate instead of all the negative things that came after last week's debate. Hopefully, because if something was to happen to the president, one of these will have to sit in that chair. So, you know, this is a – both of them are actually good debaters. So it should be very interesting tonight. And I know my man Key's got to run. So we'll just wrap this up real quick. We talked about a lot about Israel Adesanya tonight. We talked about middleweight division. We talked about the 155 division and what should happen there. That being said, everybody have a good evening. Enjoy the debate. And we'll get with you all probably sometime next week. Everybody have a good night. Take care. Peace.